my way, Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm on my way. Aren't you glad that you are? Well, we're on our way to Canaan's land. It's a good land. We've done had somebody cross over. Tell us what it looked like. It's a good land. How many of you fighting to go? How many of you know it's worth fighting for? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. God bless you, my soldier. Amen. Play some more of it, guys, if you will. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be at camp meeting one more time? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. I want to pray for Brother Derek Carey in Kansas City, Missouri. Also want to pray for Delisa McDonald for salvation, that the Lord would be mindful of those two needs tonight as we pray, that the Lord would just help those folks. I want to pray for Greg and Shirley Robbins, both not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. Also, Glenda, my wife, is not feeling good tonight, unable to be here. So if you'd remember those requests tonight. Sister Harmony Sacker says to please pray for my Uncle Rick's brother, who is not expecting to live through the night. And he is not a Christian. So they're asking that he would just find peace with God before that time comes. So may the Lord grant that need tonight. I want to remember Sister Faith Martin, her recovery from severe burns, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Also, Brother Bruce Hackett of Manitoba, needing a touch of God after having a stroke. So let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Amos turns those in, so let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Byron Palmer says, please remember me in prayer. I am sick and unable to be in the service tonight, so let's remember Brother Byron as we pray tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of our brother. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we know that we're serving a prayer-answering God. We've given in wonderful testimonies the last several weeks of what God has done and is doing even in our midst. How many of you enjoyed church here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. A continuation of the book of Acts. And, well, it's just good to be a part of that continuation. We're not all of it, but aren't you glad you're part of it? Look at somebody and say, are you part of it? Now say, are you glad? And now look at them and say, you ought to be tickled to death. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Oh, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm on my way. Yes, we're on our way. We're going to Canaan's land. To Canaan's land. I'm on my way, Canaan land. I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to do something just a little bit different tonight. I want to turn this microphone on right here. Do we have power on this microphone? Do we have power? We do. Brother Jackie Bent's here in the service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll take this microphone. I'm going to ask Brother Jackie just to pray over these needs tonight. He gave me just a brief testimony of how they have been enjoying the services, not able to be here, but they're having revival in their home watching these services. Give Brother Jackie a nice hand tonight, if you will.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege once more, Lord, to be found in the house of God. Lord, we are thankful for the message, Lord, that, Lord, you have brought to us, Lord, and revealed to us in this hour, Lord, and we're more thrilled each day, Lord, as the days go by. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to that great gathering. Hallelujah, Father, that you've gone to prepare a place for us. Hallelujah. And we're glad, Lord, for the promises of your word. We're thankful, Father, tonight for the family of God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Our heart, Lord, longs, O God. Hallelujah, for that great gathering, Lord, when this journey, hallelujah, life is finished, Father. We just pray, Lord God, for your blessings, hallelujah, upon each one tonight, Lord, that's assembled here, Lord, tonight in the church, Father, tonight, and all of the church family, Lord, that's scattered abroad, Lord Jesus, in different parts of the world, and, oh God, tonight, Lord, for the needs, Father, that's been mentioned tonight. Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll come. Stretch forth your hand. Let the healing angel pass this way tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Touch each heart, we pray. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Have your way in this service. Bless the songs. Bless everything that is accomplished, Lord. Thank you for the message, oh God. Hallelujah. For a pastor, Lord, that stands standing so faithful upon the Word of God. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And how we feast, oh Father, tonight from the Word of God. Bless him, Lord, tonight. And give him strength, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Be with him, the family, Father, tonight. And all of the church family, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to thy glory. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. So good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, when I get to feeling pitiful and sorry for myself, I look around and see somebody that's not had it as good as I have, that's still willing to fight this battle, believe this message, and fight for every inch of ground they can get. I'm for that kind of person, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing a song tonight, if you will. Brother Harry, we're going to help you sing it. Ain't nobody heard to sing it like you. We'll just help you if you'll let us. Let's sing that song, Please Forgive Me. Amen. Let's sing that tonight, if you will.
My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on ground.
Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
Lord, I'll serve you.
Yes, we will.
Until my dying day.
Oh, help others find a way. Your mercy, please forgive me. Sing that chorus again. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through.
All I have is you.
I'm at your mercy.
Make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your
Amen. When I come to the end of my journey,
live my lifetime for this day alone. Saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious.
Oh, yes.
Oh. I started out walking but running the last mile.
Brother Harry, help us sing that tonight, if you will.
Heaven's claimed so many smiling faces, till I don't feel at home here anymore. Well, I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. They're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before. Do you care if I sing it one more time? We just went down to Brother Randy Gisendander's dad's funeral today, and the brother preached his funeral, and he said something that really touched me. He said, I can't preach his funeral. He's been preaching it his whole life. I want to preach mine tonight and every day. You know, folks, we just got a short time. I want to give him my all. I want to, just for a second. I was coming back from Newport a couple weeks ago when Tennessee was playing here in Bristol. Car after car was passing me coming up the road with their orange flags. And one fanatical group, they passed me in an orange car, Tennessee orange with a white top, had pom-poms all over the sign, 4 foot by 6 foot. And I just thought, Lord, if I was as big a fanatic for Jesus Christ as them people are, for Tennessee, and I'm not knocking that, but they'd put me in an insane institute.
Right.
Even some of my brothers and sisters would probably say, Brother Harry's went off the deep end. But I would rather be a fanatic for Jesus,
yes,
than
sir,
for anything I know of.
Oh, that's right.
And when I get to the end of my journey,
right,
I want to go home.
Yes,
heaven's claimed so many smiling faces. Brother Stamper and Brother Homer and just different ones. Till I don't feel at home here anymore. But I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. they're singing a new song, Brother Kenneth, I hear you, I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Door to the long back, let me through. Angels take me to the throne.
Amen. Let's sing a little chorus just before you see me tonight. Sister Anna Lynn, she has a song. If she'll come onto the platform, let's sing a little bit of this chorus tonight. Let the worshipers arise. Are you a worshiper tonight? Are you really a worshiper? Now, I don't mean you've got to hang from these chandeliers, but this service is worth you putting something into it. It's a service, and it's worth you doing something. Do something. Amen. Let's worship the Lord just a little bit tonight. Let the worshipers arise.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side.
Oh, yes.
Holding your hand.
Yes, Lord.
Let your kingdom come. Lord, let it live in me.
Pray.
This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let the worshipers arise.
Let the sons and daughters
sing.
I'm surrendering.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We'll let you be seated. Sister Anna has a song. Give her a nice hand tonight as she gets ready to sing for you. Course tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. We're going to keep pressing on. Is that right? Amen. We certainly are. We're going to keep pressing on. Oh, we're pressing on. We're going to keep pressing on. The
life.
Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside.
Yes, he does.
Says no need for me to go on. Why do you even try? Even if there is a rapture, oh, you'll never make it in. My predestinated seed says, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again.
We're gonna keep pressing on
and on and on. I keep pressing on, pressing on
to the high calling of my It feels like pressing on by the grace of God. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Let's look at the first non-elect person that ever lived on the earth.
Amen.
The first non-elect person. The first person to come into existence on the earth whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's watch his attitude, his action, his behavior, and let's see how God acted toward him. You willing?
Yes, sir.
Good. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Is she in for a great surprise? I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother. Now notice, just one time knew her, and from that one time knowing, there's two children that come. So Adam just knew her one time, but somebody else knew her one time too. She again bare his brother vapor, worthless, fleeting. This is what Abel means. So she named Cain, acquisition. God gave me Cain. But Abel is fleeting, worthless. You see why the church has a hard time today defining who's who?
Amen.
And who has worth?
Amen.
Not the bride now, but the church. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But notice the order of how that happens. God doesn't respect the offering, then respect the man. God respected the man and accepted the offering because of who he was.
Amen.
You can't argue with this, friends. This is Scripture.
Amen.
And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flocks and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, the man first, the worshiper first, and to his offering, he had not respect. Now notice Cain's reaction. Now this isn't church. They're worshiping, praying, you know, all this, singing, whatever more. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What a place to get mad in the house of God. I mean, it was so visible. It was written all over his face. He was so angry. time. I hate to say it, but I still see that going on. Folks getting mad at the Word of God, and their countenance just changed right in church. You talking about a scary thing, friends. If you can come to the house of God and the Word tear you up one side and down the other, and it may make your old flesh upset, but from within your soul, you are happy. You ought to be one of the happiest people in all the world. Because Cain just couldn't do it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we endeavor to look into these great passages of Scripture, within it contains the great mysteries of the ages. Religious wars have caused more blood to be shed than any other reason down through time. People have fought over property and they fought over possessions, but in reality, religious wars have been the most laid to blame on taking people's lives. Today we see it going on, even in this very day. In the tribulation, when the Antichrist raises up against the foolish virgin and the Jews that are left, it'll be under the same auspices. Help us tonight, Father, as we look into your word. May we be benefited. We've read this story and we've heard it preached, many of us, since we were children. But may you put a little different perspective on it for us tonight. Open our hearts that we can understand. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This could well be called brothers at war or trouble in the family. Many other titles that we could give it. The cause of this, of course, is so perplexing. Looking at it, many, many people to this day still don't understand the cause of this setting in Genesis 4. God, by His grace, hopefully has allowed us, by the end time message, to be able to be enlightened to actually what took place here and the setting. We know that God, inspiring Moses to write the book of Genesis, as the other four books that Moses wrote, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that Moses did not cover all the particulars that happened in all of these circumstances. No doubt God may have even shown him more than what he wrote, but God, when it would come to writing it down, the Spirit of God would, don't put that, leave this, don't put that, don't put that. But the author himself, no doubt, saw much more than what he wrote. It'd be like an author of a book trying to make the storylines come together and have maybe three or four different themes or five going at the same time. They'll have you jumping, you know, from this place over to this place and over at this place and that place. And yet all of those themes to be able to run in continuity so the end of the story will make sense to you, the reader. No doubt these prophets saw much more than what they were allowed to write. I'm convinced that Moses, no doubt, saw the very act of what had taken place in the Garden of Eden. But God did not want him to write it all down. God wanted to keep it until the end time when he could really make it clear. But there was enough that was revealed that Moses was able to take what he saw and be able, by the inspiration of God, to put it in words and terms to where that the people of God would be able to understand. Now here we break into a partial opening of a scene, and we know that this is, of course, after the fall, and Moses enlightens us a little bit to what had taken place, but he doesn't give us the teaching of Adam. He does not give us what Adam taught his boys on how to worship. He does not actually go into detail to let us know that Adam had actually taught Cain and Abel that it was fruit that brought them out of the Garden of Eden. Moses does not tell us that, but our prophet does. So actually Abel stepped beyond what his father had taught him, in that he supposedly was brought out of the Garden of Eden by them eating fruit. But when Abel got ready to worship, we know it was a complete different thing. Watch this in Genesis chapter 4 verse 2. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now this is out of order in the way that it should be mentioned, because Cain, even though it might have been just a few minutes or just a few moments, who knows how long it was, but Cain was the firstborn. So why is Moses mentioning the younger first? Notice in verse 2, she again bare his brother Abel. Now here's his birth path. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now he mentions Abel being born second. But when it comes to their position, he mentions Abel first. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now Abel, of course, in his job, in his occupation, was a figurative type of Christ, in that he was a shepherd, also having a dual compound, meaning that he was not only a shepherd, but he was going to be a martyr, identified under murder, under premeditated power of Satan. Now watch, from the very beginning we see a division of work in these two young men, however old they were. Now watch in verse 3, we find that Moses, now he jumps from their births, and then he tells us what both of them does. And then he uses these terms, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, now watch how he places him, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, Cain is identified with what God placed the curse on. Now, remember, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake in the Garden of Eden. But yet, Cain takes his livelihood, his vocation of life, from that which has received the curse from God. So Cain then is identified. Now remember, Adam in the Garden of Eden was a gardener. That was his original position. What Adam done exactly on the outside, we don't know. We know that he tilled, no doubt. But there must have been a differentiation between what Adam had done and what Cain now fully does. Cain is so identified with the ground that Moses points in this direction of who and what Cain is. Now, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, Cain does not acknowledge his need of a vicarious sacrifice, but he brings to God the Hebrew word Mishnah. Mishnah. It is a grain offering or a fruit offering produced from seed life. So it is a Mishnah. But he does not bring a sacrifice which can bleed. Now this speaks of his character and of him looking at himself, that he does not see himself wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't care who you are. If you're a preacher, if you're a prophet, if you're a guitar player or a songwriter or a singer or a deacon or a trustee, if we ever get to a spot that we can never see ourselves as wrong and see ourselves not needing to be corrected, we're in a terrible shape. Absolutely terrible shape. Now watch, by his offering, he is reflecting how he views himself. So even though now his occupation was not raising sheep, but we know that had he went to Abel, because of his character, Abel would have no doubt given him a choice lamb. Abel would have done everything to help his brother worship God in the right way. But of course, that would have humbled Cain's pride, which is part of his problem, his pride. Now, whenever he comes to God then in the process of time, he brings to God this Mishnah. Now, if you look at the Hebrew wording of what Abel brings, Abel also in the Hebrew wording, Abel not only brings a lamb, an offering that will bleed blood, which is a vicarious one which can suffer in his place, but Abel as well brought a Mishnah. As it is reflected in Leviticus, that they would not only bring an oxen or a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon, but they would also bring a grain offering or a trespass offering. So a Mishnah was part of the worship. But to bring the Mishnah for atonement specifies that you do not believe you need to be atoned for. So this is the way he viewed himself. He was not in need of atonement. So instead of bringing a lamb or whatever type of animals that there were at that day, instead of bringing that, he brings a Mishnah, and yet they are coming to worship God for atonement. Now his own attitude, of course, reflects where he's from. Now Cain comes with his own righteousness, okay? Actually, we know made his own religion in doing this. But Abel comes and he's sensitive of his unworthiness. Now remember, Adam is elect. Eve is elect. Abel is elect. But Cain is not elect. Adam's name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Eve's name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Abel's name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Cain's name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now we'll get a good picture from this scene and how God will reach even to those who are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now watch Cain. Of course, God did not reveal to him in the sense of revelation. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now according to the dictates of his natural ability of worshiping God. Now he loved God, of course. He wanted to go to church. He wanted to bring God an offering. But it was a reflection in the way that he looked at himself. So he comes in his own righteousness. He comes with the own works of his hands, what he's done. Notice how Brother Branham says it. But here come Abel, hallelujah, not working, but by grace, election, calling. Here he comes along with a little lamb that he picked up out of the flock. He had a grapevine around his neck, and he come dragging it along. You say, did he have? Oh my, how did he know it? Well, they didn't have any hemp, so I guess it must have been a grapevine. Did he lead him up there? Yes, sir, because that was a type of Christ, and he led him to Calvary. Here comes Abel, knowing that it wasn't apples or fruits. God didn't dwell in beauty or in sincerity. He dwells in election and calling. Now, because Abel was elected, then Abel dwells also in the mystical land of election. Now, remember, even though they're out of the Garden of Eden, there's still a spiritual place to where the elect of God can get to. Now, remember, Adam had fell. Of course, we know that. But still, Abel bore in him that holy seed of God even after the fall. Adam lost the holy image, but he was still in the right seed line of the seed of God. As a matter of fact, that seed line was still separate up to Genesis 6. The sons of God seeing the daughters of men. But we know then that Abel comes, and because he is a direct descendant not only to Adam, but he is a direct descendant from the Lamb's Book of Life, then every every descendant from that book, oh glory, has a right and has access to the book to where God is obligated to give them revelation in the age that they live. Now, not because, just because he was Adam's son only. Because we know years and years later, of course, a righteous man has two sons, a Jacob and an Esau, and both of them are coming from the same father and from the same mother. But one of them came from the Lamb's Book of Life and the other one didn't. And the one who come from the Lamb's Book of Life had a direct attachment to the revelation which accompanies itself with the Lamb's Book. Oh my, praise the Lord. Now, God understands that those that are in the Book of Life do not have the same spiritual access or being spiritual minded. But God has even made a way for that to where they can be saved if they want to be saved. Now, watch. He said he dwells in election and calling, so he wraps this vine around the lamb's neck. And here he comes moving up to the altar. I don't guess they had a lance in that day. So they just took a sharp rock, pulling his little head back, and he began to beat him in the throat. Listen, what a sight. The blood began to sprinkle and bathe his little wool over like that, and the poor little thing dying, bleeding. God looking down from heaven and rewarded him. What was it? Spiritually minded by election. Praise be to God. Children, don't you understand? You're not spiritual minded because you read and because you pray. You ought to do those things. If you're spiritual minded, it's because God gave it to you by election. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. A theologian can study the Word of God and study it more than you and I will ever study it and never be spiritually minded. And somebody that don't even hardly know their ABCs can be spiritually minded. Why? Because of election. God's election grace.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
What was it spiritually minded by election, knowing that the earthly things doesn't please God? He offered life and blood. What did he speak of? Come 4,000 years to man, the Lamb of God with a rope around his neck was led away to Calvary. There on the cross, the Rock of Ages bleeding, his wool, his hair dropping, blood dropped onto his breast. Now, Abel is acting out, of course, in typology, the Lord Jesus. So he's in a twofold manner in that he's offering the lamb, and he himself will also be killed on the same altar. Same with the Lord Jesus. He is offering himself as the Lamb of God in the office of high priest. He will also be killed upon the same altar the atonement is offered on. Notice now in verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, Theodotion, the historian, says that these words are, he looked upon Abel's sacrifice and set them on fire. So he looked upon the sacrifice and set them on fire. Now, how is Cain going to know that God accepts Abel's sacrifice? Now, there was something that must have happened because they're both standing here at the altar, which is just outside the Eden Gate. And they're both standing there worshiping, going through the ritual, the routine, as it were. And they both are doing it with sincerity. They both do it because they love God. But Cain, not by revelation, but something visible happened so that Cain was able to see that God actually accepted Abel's sacrifice. So here's the key, and we know Brother Raymond says the same thing. Now watch. So he looked upon Abel's sacrifice, and the words had respect to signify in Hebrew to look at anything with a keen, earnest glance, which has been translated kindle into a fire. You imagine now, so God looks, oh hallelujah, God looks at the sacrifice with such a keen interest that the sacrifice caught on fire. Believe it or not, that's what's happened to you, and you got the Holy Ghost. Oh glory. You found grace. grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. Not for God just to give you a new house and a new suit of clothes and a better job, but you so got God's favor, little bride. You so found favor with Him to walk in the galleries of election that God looked at you with such keen interest before the foundation of the world and identified your name on the Lamb's book. And when you come up in your age, God so looked at you with such keen interest that He set your soul on fire. And there ain't enough devils, there ain't enough churches, there ain't enough trouble, there ain't enough sickness to ever put that fire out. All the winds of trouble do is fan that Holy Ghost flame in the heart of a son or daughter of God. So God looks with this keen interest, and He looks, and Abel's sacrifice catches on fire. Oh, praise be to God. Notice, though, that God has the same order with Abel as He did with Cain. And Abel, He also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, accepting his person, then his gift. Glory to God. Glory to God. Not accepting the gift and then accepting Him. Now this is fine for John 3:16 Christians. This is fine for whosoever will. But this won't work for elect. To accept them after they offer the right gift. The gift was offered for you. He came, oh hallelujah, He came to redeem His own. He come to save His people. Listen, church, Christ was not Omer. Hallelujah. Think of it, those elect. That's why the prophet could say you wasn't saved on any certain day. You always was saved. So why did Christ come to the earth? To make you a person acceptable? Oh, sure, you was lost in this human part here. Lost without God, and you needed salvation. But you was already accepted in the mind of God before there was ever a cross. Before you was ever lost, you was accepted before the foundation of the world. In God's great thinking, God accepted your person, and He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Now the church has it this way. You were unacceptable. You were lost. You couldn't be saved. So God sent Him. And if He accepts Him, it accepts you. That's fine for the church, but that won't work for the elect. Oh my. Accepting first His person, then His sacrifice. So the sacrifice was accepted for the man, not the man for the sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice then contains in it divine inspiration and divine instruction, but it's also mingled, being mixed with faith. Of course, Cain did not do his by faith. We know that. He did not obey the instructions of God, nor could it be mixed with faith. But he does it according to his intellect, the best that he knows or best that he thinks. Now notice in verse 5. But unto Cain, again, notice the order, person, then offering. Unto Cain and to his offering. Unto Cain and to his offering. God did not respect Cain first. If God would have respected Cain, then the offering could have looked different. God did not respect Cain, therefore He could not respect his offering. Do you understand? People can come with the right offering. They can bring God things that His scripture said. They can bring tithes. They can bring offerings. They can bring works. I feed the poor. I help the widow. I do this and that and the other. But if your person is not accepted, those works aren't accepted. You see, all of the things that you can do and all the charities and all the things that you do, if God does not accept your person, all of that is absolutely wasted. Oh my. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now Cain wasn't rejected because of his offering. Cain was rejected because of his person. His offering was rejected because of his person. If a Mishnah would be wrong, then it would have been wrong for Abel to brought a Mishnah. It was by faith that Abel brings it. But it's by intellect that Cain brings his. So God didn't have respect. So I mean, here Cain goes up and he brings up all his vegetables and flowers and whatever more. Must have been a beautiful altar. Absolutely beautiful. My, and everything just all decorated and laying in line. Wow, it must have been something to look at down through there. So pretty, so neat and in order. My, here comes his brother up there pulling that lamb and that little old lamb. Oh my, blatant and the awful sound that ever was, tied with a grapevine around his neck. And he takes a knife and he goes to hacking on that neck and the hot blood spewing out all over the lamb and all over, you know, the smell of warm blood, almost sickening just the smell of it. And it's all over Abel's hands and all over his body and the tears running down Abel's eyes. Oh, hallelujah. And God looks at him and said, yes, that's what I want. And the Spirit of God looks down through there and he catches that on fire. Now here stands Cain. God does nothing. God says nothing. God moves nothing. God does absolutely nothing. And of course, Cain has a real problem with this.
Yes, sir.
Now notice now verse 5. But unto Cain into his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. Look at the meaning of this word. To be hot. Furious. Burn. Become angry. Be kindled. Now this is amazing. The offering got kindled by God through Abel. Cain got kindled by the devil through temper. Isn't it amazing how Satan will parallel that? You're going to be on fire one way or the other. So here his sacrifice is kindled by the eyes of God and God burns it. And now because of Cain enters into this spot. Now he's not just a little bit upset. I don't understand. That breaks my heart. I must have messed up somehow. God, I'm so sorry. Please. But I mean, his face changes. Now, it wasn't just wroth, but very wroth. Very wroth. So his countenance fell, which was his face. So the whole expression. So here he has this sad, ugly, ugly look on his face. Now remember, he's serpent seed. What would you have done with him right now at this point? If you had the power to kill him, would you go ahead and do it right then? But notice God, though. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Now, it's not that God don't know. You see what this is? Grace.
Amen.
Here is a whosoever will person.
That's right.
Whose name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
So they really don't know divine approach. And God is now going beyond his own genus, his own kind. And God is approaching them through what? Mercy and grace. He's acknowledged the recipient of election and mercy out of the Lamb's Book of Life, Abel. And now he looks at Cain and he feels sorry for him. No doubt God felt sorry for him because who his daddy was anyway. Remember, Cain couldn't help being born the way he was. It was not his fault. It's not your fault you were born the biggest liar in Tennessee. It ain't your fault you were born with all these tendencies to be evil and wicked. Come on, but the grace of God looked beyond our natural birth. And here God's looking at Cain and God looks at him how? With pity. But what would we have done if we'd noticed serpent seed anyway? I've always felt funny about him. I've never liked him in the first place. Look at that nose. Look at them bushy eyebrows he's got. Don't he look like an animal to you? Don't it look really weird and strange? Bless God, he proved himself in church. Send him to hell. Not God. This is where we need to be more like God. Now notice. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now he's discontented with God. And certainly dissatisfied and jealous because his brother has been accepted. Now Cain's unbridled anger. Oh my. It's fixing to show itself. And even in that, God still offers him hope. Within his heart, his wounded pride. Oh my, right there in church, he got him back. Everybody in church knew his sacrifice hadn't been accepted. It wasn't like a secret. It wasn't like something that went on and you might know and you might not know. Whoever was there. Now we don't know exactly how far this was. Remember, Adam and Eve had 70 children. We don't know exactly in what lot of time this was. Were there more born? Were there more on the earth? We don't know. But being right there in church and God never even looked at your sacrifice. God never even raised a finger. And right in church, you were embarrassed. And you were picked on. And everybody knew he was talking about you. So now Cain got his feelings hurt big time. And his pride was wounded. Notice this. What did it do? It begins to burst violence and hatred. And it started where? In church. Children, that's why we come to the house of God. We don't need to come here to play. Every time we come through them doors, we need to come serious. You'll either be better or worse when you leave. And no matter how much you try to blame it on, blame it on somebody else, the bottom line is going to be you. It's going to be your acceptance or your rejecting of the word. It's up to you. Watch, Brother Bram says it this way. Cain wanted to be religious, so he went and made his own religion. When he did, he brought it before God with something like this. Here's the best I got. This is all I can do about it. Now take it or leave it. That's about the way man does today. I help build the church. I send my children to church there. I put money in every year. That's the best I can do. Take it or leave it. Oh, see? He wants his own way. That's the way Cain did. Now listen to these words. But God still loved him. And he still went after him. Now God revealed to you and I that somebody was serpent seed. And they had done this sort of thing. Would we have anything to do with them? Help me, Lord. All the rest of you mortals better raise your hand. Help me, Lord. Oh, my. But see, God still loved him and he still went after him. What did God tell Cain? You do well. Just worship like your brother Abel. Abel's come God's way, but Cain wanted his way. God said, now, Cain, you got to be kidding me. I've got nothing against you. Really? He's half human, half beast. Meaning the devil himself. Look at the grace and the mercy of God dealing with non-elect. Well, I don't know if you folks are enjoying this or not, but I sure enjoyed studying it. I knew he was going to do it. Did God know it? He did. He's giving us his example of how he will deal with non-elect. Friends, it is not hard. It is not bitter. It is God's grace that deals with non-elect. Look at it. Cain, I've got nothing against you. If you'll just come over and go the way Abel does, you'll do well. But he hated Abel. He thought Abel was a holy roller. He hasn't changed his opinion. He thought Abel was a religious fanatic. He still believes it. My, my, that's his formal ideas. And his culture of his own thing is better than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he's wrong. Absolutely wrong. So now here God allows Cain to come on up. And he offers it. And God said, I understand. You didn't know what the truth was. Now you know what truth is. Not by revelation, but by visible vindication. Listen now. It was still not revealed personally to his soul from the Lamb's portion of the book of life. But now he sees visible signs, vindication. This is the truth. God accepted Abel. Oh my, thank God we've got a way to be able to worship God. Now was God going to give him revelation? No, God don't tell him that. But he said, at least come and do what your brother done. And if you'll do that, I will accept you. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come on. I'll accept you. Oh my. Notice in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You gotta be kidding. Serpent seed. Not on the Lamb's book of life. But God will accept him on what basis, Brother Jim? By worshiping the right way. Friends, don't you understand? If people want to be saved, they can be saved. It's not like that God's trying to keep you out of heaven. He's doing his best to get you there. Whether you're elect or non-elect, bride, foolish virgin, whoever you are, he don't want anybody to perish. If he would reach this way to a direct descendant from the serpent, how much more are these poor mortals out here? So God reaches again in mercy. If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? Now we think there's no hope for this guy. He gets mad in church. He has an awful look on his face ever was. Anger and temper rages in the man. And God still comes to him and says, I ain't got nothing against you. I love you, Cain. Lord have mercy. Is this an awful sermon or are y'all just overwhelmed or what? I mean, God said, I ain't got nothing against you, Cain. I love you. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't bring out of love the Lord Jesus to come here out of hate. He did it out of love. So you imagine Almighty God in his sovereign grace. Again, reaches to him, if thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door, which is crouching like an animal. Is the Hebrew words, sin is crouching like an animal at the door. And if you don't do this, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. Sin will, Cain, your rejection of this last opportunity will allow the beast, the ravage of sin. You'll open that door and he'll crouch right in on top of you.
Which is, of course, what he done.
Now, watch. The merciful Jehovah held out to Cain mercy. You can't help your mama committed adultery. You can't help your daddy's that, well, he used to be an upright creature. He's crawling around on his belly now. That ain't your fault. It ain't your fault you come to the earth like that. So I will go beyond my book.
I love you, Cain. I don't want you to be lost. Praise God. Praise God.
So here we see how God dealt with the first non-elect human being. As a matter of fact, he spends way more time on him than he did on Abel. No doubt with Abel, it was, you know, kind of a boom type of thing. It had just hit him, and all of a sudden he knew what it was, and he just obeyed what the word said, and Cain is struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling. And God is willing to be merciful and give him chance after chance after chance. Oh my. Now here he knows. He knows what God's will is. And God gives him a second chance. I'll accept you. I'll save you. I'll tell you what I'll even do. I'll let you have the preeminence of the birthright over Abel. Now I know this is going to choke you a little bit. If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You're the firstborn. The right of progeniture is yours. It belongs to you. You see, this is part of the problem. Cain looking at what God had revealed to Abel, and Abel having the right thing, he's scared to death he's going to lose his position. Oh no, oh no, God's taking it away from me and give it to somebody else. So God said, look, this is part of your problem. You've been demoted and you have a problem with it, don't you? You're angry, you're upset, you're mad. But I'm telling you, if you will come and simply worship like your brother.
Amen.
Do you imagine every time God preached this sermon to Cain, like your brother, like your brother, like your brother. It made him madder and madder and madder. Because now he's using his brother, word brother made flesh as a reference in his sermon. No, oh, hallelujah. Because Abel was the word expressed. So God can refer to Abel as the living word. Because that's what he was. This is why God now can make reference. Why don't God make reference? I'm the Almighty God and I've done this and I've done that. But instead, God says, worship like your brother. Lord Jesus. So God speaks to him personally now. And tries to lead him back. And gives him another opportunity. Watch this. In power transformation, Brother Ben said, Cain was such a person, religious indeed. Certainly, but he had the wrong seed in him. See, and therefore it was brought forth the serpent seed. Satan had hissed over this seed of Eden. That's what brought forth the Cain. And he put his poison upon it. He, Cain, knew the perfect will of God. How did he know it? Not by revelation, but by vindication of seeing what God done for his brother. Don't you understand all these folks that have left the message and doing all the things they're doing? They didn't get it by election like the elect of God did. There's no question about that. It was not revelation. If they'd at least stayed around and kept their mouth shut, even if they didn't understand, even if they would have left it alone and just said, man, I tell you one thing, I don't understand it all, but no, I mean, all these miracles, don't tell me God's going to vindicate no liar. Come on. And God's telling him, look, you can see what I've done. I caught this offering on fire. He had no matches. He had no torch. He had no way to light this. I've done it. Then come to me on this basis and worship the same way. Go get a lion, kill it, do the same thing he done, and I will accept you, and your position will be restored, Israel. But if not, I'll take your place and give it to a Gentile bride. The younger brother. Oh my. He refused to do it. He proved then to be serpent seed. Dear God. When he seen the perfect will of God, he refused to do it. He seen God vindicate Abel's message. He knowed that was the will of God. How did he know it, Brother West? Not by revelation. Listen to me, friend. A real believer don't have to have visible signs.
Amen.
I don't believe because I see signs. I believe because I'm a believer.
Amen.
a lot of these things myself personally. I am a believer. I don't care what they try to prove and disprove this and that and the other. They've done it since the days the Bible was written, and they'll continue to go on. That don't stop a real believer at all. We don't believe something outside of who we are. We're believers, so therefore we believe the Word. I don't need pictures. Come on, children. I don't need newspaper articles. I don't need this one to say this and that and the other. I am a believer. But God even comes on this basis. Look, Cain, you saw me do it. Accept it on that. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus came and he said basically the same thing? If you can't believe me, believe the works I do. They tell you who I am. So then Pharisees and scribes, they would have been accepted on that basis. They said, I'll tell you one thing. Man, I don't know if this is theology. It's really different, but that man's sent from God. There ain't no question about that. That man is sent from God. But now what Cain gonna do? Oh my. He's seen God vindicate Abel's message. And what did God say to him? Do the same. Worship like your brother. Now he's already hurt. And he's already offended. So now his brother is being used as the example, which is going to hurt his pride that much more. Now, if you want to be accepted, go sit down and talk to your brother and let him tell you how to do it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. You imagine. I've made it known to him by revelation. He'll share it with you and it'll become knowledge. And if you'll do it with sincerity, I will can you imagine, friends? The grace of God, Brother Amos, that would extend to this individual. God cannot require revelation of him if God don't give it. But if a man would at least do it by knowledge, just do it by knowledge, out of sincerity, out of knowledge, God wanted him to be saved that bad, Brother Gene, that he said, I'll accept you. Just go talk to your brother. Let him tell you how to do it with sincerity. And walk up there and do like he done with sincerity, and I will accept you, Cain. You don't have to be lost.
We'll do it with the right seed in it.
Who is this? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. So now it's based upon what? God loved him. God come to him. So it's not God's will that Cain refuses. It is Cain's choice. Praise the Lord. Worship like your brother and you'll do well. He's seen the perfect will of God. Abel worshipped without seeing. Abel did it before the fire came. Wow, worshiping by revelation. Under election, his portion was in the Lamb's book. But now God said, fine, Cain, I understand you cannot do this. I will accept you if you'll just worship like him. Just come, worship like him in sincerity. I'll accept you. And you'll be the firstborn. Praise God. Loving, merciful Heavenly Father. Notice this. He's seen the perfect will of God, but he didn't want it. He wanted to add something to it. And these theologians see this Bible and they read it, but they don't want to do it. It shows the serpent seed. They've seen it vindicated so simply before the people, but it seems like it's so hard for people to humble themselves to the Word of God. Children, I'm telling you one thing, you ought to be one of the happiest people in this place tonight if you can humble yourself. Humble your pride, humble your dress, humble your attitude, humble everything you are to the Word of God. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now watch at verse 8. So God gives him a chance again and again. Hey man, I ain't doing it. Leave me alone. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Anger is a powerful emotion that can lead to violence and murder. You still with me now? Watch this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus is fixing to teach us that anger in the heart is equivalent to murder with the hands. Anger in the heart. Oh my. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now this word is actually not kill, but murder. Do no murder. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you. Moses couldn't say that. Nor could Jeremiah nor Ezekiel. They'd say, thus saith the Lord. But Jesus could say, I say unto you. He's the main man. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, there is a holy anger. We know that. Ephesians 4:26. And there's an anger against sin. There's an anger against unrighteousness. But here Jesus is addressing an anger that is toward human beings, not sin. Toward human beings. The word used here in Matthew 5:22 is a settled anger or a malice that is nursed inwardly. So it's a settled anger. It's not something that comes and goes. You know, well, I got upset. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But it's a settled anger. It's an anger that's been laying there and stewing, as we call it. And it is actually a nursed anger. A bitterness that comes out of it. Now, this is what Cain was. Can't you see why Jesus is so against this type of thing? Yes, sir. It is of the devil. Yes, sir. Now, don't shut down on me altogether yet now. Right. Notice how Jesus says this. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. And it is unjustly, rashly, or hastily. Where no offense had been given or intended or in an unreasonable degree, or with a mixture of malice. You see, whenever we will take even anger against sin, and we will take an anger against a certain sin that's wrong, and maybe if we dig deep enough in your past, we find out that somebody did that certain sin to you when you was a boy or a girl. And then it helps us to see you're not just really angry at that sin. Your anger is mixed with another emotion from inside of your own being. Mingled up with your scars. Oh my, don't get totally shut down on me now. So this is unholy. This cannot be attributed as holy and righteous indignation. Because it is mixed with our own personal feelings. Now here we are with Cain. It's this, all this anger and this hatred, this jealousy of his brother, and it's all settled down inside of him, and he nurses it, and he nurses it, and thinks about it, and thinks about it day in and day out. It's getting bigger and bigger. And you know how anger is. Anger's first cousin is bitterness. And anger and bitterness go hand in hand, and they go to working together. And oh my, it builds and builds and builds. Is somebody hearing me tonight? Oh my. Notice, so in this, it is actually leads to or kindly to the violation of the sixth commandment. What's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15? Whosoever hateth his brother. Not whosoever killeth his brother. Whosoever hateth his brother. Not will become, but is a murderer. How how could the scripture say that? Because the New Testament points inward to the focal point of where the actions take place. The Old Testament deals with what? The outside. So when a person would kill, they'd deal with them from the outside. The law had nothing to replace it on the inside. This is why people are condemned if they still had this attitude. There's a way to get rid of that devil. You got anger in your heart tonight toward me or toward anybody else that's going to bitterness? You know, it's a real shame. You've got it there. What makes it even worse, you walk out that door with it. Well, praise the Lord. You don't have to. But if you walk out with it, then you want it. And you nurture it. And you nurse it. And you feed it a bottle. And you change its diapers. And you goo, 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 goo to that thing. And it's growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It'll finally destroy you. I don't care how much you jump and shout and speak in tongue. And you can preach till the building collapses down around you. It will destroy you. Oh, my. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now watch Jesus. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now this is actually the white throne judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, which is, of course, the Sanhedrin. And you all know what the word raka means? Empty, senseless, empty-headed man, stupid, shallow brains, a term of reproach used among the Jews in the time of Christ. This is my what people say today. This is my what people say on Facebook. Friends, if we are in danger, if we are in danger of the judgment by saying these things, we ought to watch our mouths. Amen. And your fingers. Amen. And remember, this is not some preacher somewhere. This is the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. Brother Jim, why would he be so against this? Ties right back to the two worshipers in the beginning. This kind of spirit does not come from God. It's from the devil. Amen. Oh my. Notice what he says. Whosoever is angry with his brother. Not his enemy, not some unbeliever, but his brother. Without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka. And actually where this root word comes from in the Aramaic is Ricky. Rick. R-I-K. Rick. So if you say to your brother he's stupid, senseless, don't have much brains, I think I better make an altar call right now. I'm the first one in it. Don't you sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. There ain't a person in this building, unless you're a six-month-old baby, that in his guilt is a hound dog in a hen house. God help us, children. Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire or Gehenna. Now Gehenna was a valley outside of Jerusalem. The idolatrous Jews before the time of Jesus offered their children as burnt offerings to the gods of the Canaanites. It later become where they would burn their trash and their rubbish. Gehenna. So you can imagine now, whenever the apostles heard the Lord Jesus use this word, to them it meant like a smoldering, stinking garbage dump. You mean just by calling somebody a fool? Whew. Thou fool, which means wicked man, ungodly wretch, graceless creature. Friends, can you imagine when we say this person is going to hell and that one's going to hell and this and can't be saved and that? There's only one person that knows who can and who can't. And in case I'm badly mistaken, you ain't him. Every year, drivers, out of anger, cause all kinds of folks to lose their lives. Used to, years ago, if somebody had sat at the stoplight and go to sleep, you could honk your horn. Wake up up there, buddy. It ain't safe to do it no more. They'd drag out an AK-47 and do a chop job on your car while you're sitting there with you in it. Right? How many people get killed every year over road rage? We have church rage too. Folks get mad on the horn and get them stomp out. Church rage. Same devil. Same devil. Just reacting that way in church instead of on the road. Well, my. Notice, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, take your leave. Now, he's talking about them devils that he spoke to out of the hogs. Come out of him. Amen. Oh, my little bitty guy like that speaking to that big legion of devils, come out of him. You have to have your leave. And they got into those hogs and they had fits. Run them hogs into fits. And down the way they went to the river and drowned in the river. Choked themselves in the river. Is that right? Now he said when they did, of course the devils went out of them because it killed the hogs. It just run them into a fit. They had a fit like anyone. Did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Well, that's just what it is. It's just them devils. I'll finish my sermon in my study. Devils. It ain't the Holy Ghost that gets on any of us and makes us mad and throw a fit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Let me read this and we will close. And y'all say, hallelujah. It's them devils. That's what happened to them. And you ever see one of them have a temper fit? You say, oh, I know what happened in Gadara now. See, that's just exactly, a few more come in, they're running completely insane. Because the medical doctor will tell you that temper is the first stage of insanity. And some of you guard that temper of yours like it's a treasure. You'd be better off to have a chest full of rattlesnakes. Most of us would run from a rattlesnake. But some of you eat up a temper and had it all your life and still ain't got rid of it. You know why? You love it. Runs in your family and you're proud of your family strain. That's what Mayo says, the first stage of insanity. So that builds on Cain and it builds on him. So he come and talk to his brother. Hey, brother, how you doing? I'm doing okay. You're not mad at me? No problem, man. I mean, you got to tell the truth. No problem. Sure, preach what God puts on your heart, bub. Yeah. We'll take a walk? Sure, there's no problem between us? No. No problem. Let's go for a walk. Come out and look at my sweet taters, my maters, my asparagus, my onions. Come out and look. And then when he gets him out in the field, away from Adam and Eve, then he lets vent in his anger. You sorry, low down, rotten, good for nothing, little smart aleck. Why did you embarrass me? Why? If you wanted to worship God like that, why'd you have to do it in front of me? And then God made reference to you in rebuking me, using you for an example. Brother, wait a minute. I thought that there was no problem. Maybe you ain't got a problem, but I've got one. You imagine as this moves on Cain, and it's like he goes insane. Some folks never pick up a rock and hit a preacher. They'd never take a shotgun and hit one. They go on Facebook. And they speak in riddles and symbols. As if nobody understands what they're saying. What is it? Insanity. Out of anger. Temper. Riled. And oh my. These people ranting and raving on the prophet of God. Nobody in the right mind that's heard the things that's happened in this last day message could in their right mind say the things many of these people have said. I hope to God they are insane. There'll be hope for them. Hopefully there'll be hope for them if they're insane. Oh my. Now let's close with this. This is the way God dealt with the first non-elect person. Stubborn, rebellious, hard-headed, and yet God in His mercy. Now God knew He was fixing to do this. Remember 1 John 3:11? For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was of the wicked one when he was born. Not when he refused to worship right. And God knew he was. He couldn't help being of the wicked one. What he got in trouble was staying of the wicked one. And he slew his brother. Wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Let's stand. Genesis 4:9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Amen. Now, Brother Terry, when he comes up and he does this to Abel, he crosses the point of no return. There's mercy. There's grace. There's mercy. But he finally reaches a point. What is the point when he crosses? It's not when he points his finger at God. There ain't no God in heaven. God, I curse you. God, I tell you this, that, other. It was his death of the elect. He said, many of those folks who have done what they've done in this last day, it won't be because God's going to stand there in judgment that day. You blaspheme me. Boy, you call me all kinds of names. It'll be because of what they said about his prophet.
Yes, sir.
And you.
That's right.
This is when Cain finally crosses the line. His treatment toward Abel. Look, friends. May God help us. May God help us. Most of us would be better off if we'd say probably about 99% less than what we say and run our mouths. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Not only what you say, but what you put on your Facebook and all this, that, and other. Be a Christian, not only in church, but be one at home. Be one everywhere. May God help us. When we talk to people and we try to witness to people, even though a lot of these folks have done what they've done to the message, you know what? There ain't none of them I want to see lost. Not one. Goodness no, I'd be evil and vile if I'd want to see anybody lost. Do I want to see anyone lost? None. I hope and pray there's mercy for every one of them. Don't you? Why would you want to see anybody perish? If God looked at this mongrel, half animal, half human. And God offered him a way out. What about us as His children? You can't make them now. But all you can do is pray. God be merciful. Well, I think so-and-so's crossed the line. I don't pray for him no more. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's not for you to say. I think my husband's gone too far. I think my wife's gone too far. You do not know that unless Almighty God Himself reveals it to you. And I doubt very seriously He will. Probably be His purpose in revealing it to you. So what do? We keep offering. Well, why don't you just pray? Well, Brother Don, they can't come back to Happy Valley. Maybe they don't belong here. Maybe they belong down to First Baptist. Maybe they need to go to the Second Methodist or the Third Presbyterian. And worship by knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm doing the very best that I know. But that won't work for you. We can't worship by knowledge, by the way. We must worship by revelation of the revealed word of the hour. If God would have accepted Cain this way, I'm convinced, friends, He will accept them today. This is him making the offering, not you and me. This is where the foolish virgin is. This is where the majority of Christendom is. Worshipping by knowledge. Do they know it? They don't even know how to be baptized. They don't even know what the atonement even means. But will God accept them? Millions of them. And I, for one, I'm going to stand there that day and shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God in His mercy. God in His mercy went beyond the Lamb's Book of Life. And God saved millions times millions of non-elect. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for being harsh and judgmental. If we've ever said this person crossed the line and this one can't be saved and this and that, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us if we think people are serpent seed and we just cut them off, don't have nothing else to do with them. You knew he was. You knew it from the beginning. And yet you kept reaching to him. It shows us your mercy. And yet if somebody disagrees with us and has a little falling out with us, we're ready to sue them, take them to court. We're ready to say they're not even a brother. Totally disqualify them from being a brother. Lord Jesus, help us. It's no wonder we're not gone yet, Lord. We're not where we need to be. Help us, dear God. Forgive us for saying things about one another. Forgive us for saying things against one another, Lord. Forgive us if we have any grudges. Forgive us if we've got angry in church. We know how that works. People won't, most of the time, get angry at God. They get angry at the mailman who delivers what God says. For everyone sitting here tonight, Lord, that's got angry at me, I forgive them. For those who've streamed, those who've done all that, I forgive them in the person of Christ. Don't lay it to their charge. I forgive them, Lord, for their ignorance. I forgive those who come and sit here and call me their pastor and yet don't even have enough respect and common decency to follow the direction that I give them. I forgive them for their arrogance and their pride. I forgive them, Lord. Help us as your children to be like you, Lord Jesus. If you could look at this mongrel and offer him a way out again and again, and you loved him and went after him, it looks as if though you spent more time with him than you did with Abel. Because the truth of it is, Abel was easier to deal with. Help me, Lord, as a pastor. Lord, sometimes it's those that's so hard to deal with, and they're in and out of one thing and another and another and another. Help me, Lord, to keep loving. Help me to keep reaching to them, Father. It's so much easier as humans to love and favor those who just do what the Word says. They just hear it and they obey it and they just go on. And others, they has to be explained 14 different ways, and they've got to know why this and how come that, and they're constantly in one thing after another. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to be like you. To love like you. You love against all odds. You love against all chances, even seemingly, of redemption. Yet you loved. I have to be honest with you tonight, sir. Had I been standing there outside the garden gate, and I would have seen Cain get mad and seen that look on his face, I would have really struggled to win after him after seeing the anger he displayed in church. I'm just being honest with you, Lord. I'd have found it hard because I'd have thought, God, have mercy, God's going to strike him dead. But you and your love went after him after church. Then maybe the next day and the next day, and you kept talking to him. I don't want you to be lost. I want you to be saved, Cain. Yes. My. Thank you, Lord, for being so merciful.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many with me tonight would raise your hand and say, Lord, help me to be more like that? I ain't talking about compromising now. I'm just talking about reaching out in God's love and mercy. Praise God. You and I don't know the end the way He did. And yet He kept reaching and reaching because He loved him. God loved Cain. No wonder the prophet tells us that we love sinners, but we hate their sin. That brother, sister, husband, wife, children, whatever more that's caused you so many problems. There's nothing wrong with you hating the bondage they're under. Nothing wrong with you hating the sin in their life. But just make sure you don't start hating them. Because it'll grieve the Spirit of God right out of your life. Praise God. Praise God. I just wonder tonight, while the crowd is a little bit less than it will be probably in the morning, can we just kind of move up front a little bit, all of you that can? I know the altar ain't big enough for everybody. But let's just move up here. Let's just make an altar. God can look at our hearts. And you can look at yourself. How do you treat those that aren't nice to you? And if a man continuously corrects you over and over and over again, because maybe you're wrong over and over and over again, you go to getting offensive and, well, he's out to get me, just don't. Or can you look at yourself and think, maybe the problem is me. Maybe I have a lot more issues than what I think I do. Maybe I really need all this. May God help us. How many wants to be like him? And love like him. And forgive like him. But Brother Donnie, what if I'm reaching out to a serpent seed? What will I be then? Like God? Amen. You see, you're not even sure if you're reaching out to a serpent seed or not. Could be a bride of Christ. But God knew he was reaching to serpent seed. But he reached with all love. I don't believe with all of my heart. No, sir. No way. That God was acting it out, acting apart. God with all mercy and kindness, reaching out to this hybrid mongrel that was filled with such envy and hatred. But God didn't want him to be lost. God loved him. I don't know about you. I need more of that love. I need a bigger dose of that love in my life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we've gathered up front here tonight, Lord, around this altar, with all sincerity, Lord, we first ask you for forgiveness. I read it today, Lord, your prophet said, preaching on perfect faith, he said, so we see then, faith is based on forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us to forgive those who trespass against us, those who wrong us, and those who even try to destroy us. Lord, I pray you would help us tonight, Father. Forgive me, Lord. I know I've not loved like you, like I should have. I've not always reached out the way that I should have, Lord. Forgive me, Father. I'm willing to admit my wrongs, my shortcomings. I need you tonight, Lord. If you'd offer me $1 trillion tonight or a baptism of love, I'd take the love any day. If I could be the king of this world for 1,000,000 years or get more love, I'd choose love without any question. Because eventually at that 1,000,000 years, I'd die and perish. But if I get this, I'll never perish. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love beyond sight. To love beyond hope. To look at people and when it looks like that there's no faith that we can muster in our heart and sometimes even hope. Faith's little weak sister. Seemed like she can't even rally to the cause. No wonder your prophet told us love is the most powerful weapon in the world. Lord Jesus, we have caught a glimpse tonight of your love. I hope in just a little bit different way than we've ever seen it before. To make us hunger and crave and long for it, Lord Jesus. We want to be like you in doctrine. We don't want to believe error. We don't want to be messed up in our theology, none of that. But Lord, we want your love. We want to be so baptized into your love. No wonder your prophet come back from that sixth dimension and said, all that was there, all you're ever going to get there is through perfect love. Lay aside everything till you get perfect love. Perfect love. Thank you, Lord. Would you lay your hand on your brother or sister standing there by you? Now you've asked God for you. Now I want you to ask God for someone standing near you. Praise God. It'd be wonderful here tonight, Lord, if a great rush and mighty wind would come through this place and people start speaking in tongues and supernatural things that happen. Oh my, that'd be something. Lord, to me, if a baptism of the Holy Ghost in love could come in this place right now, Lord Jesus, and just so baptize us afresh into the love of God, that we could look at those that we struggle with because our makeup clashes with ours. Somebody we work with on the job or whatever more. And all of a sudden we look at them different and we feel different. Lord God, to me that's greater than all the signs and the wonders that we could put together. That our hearts and our lives would be changed from within, Lord. Then I believe we'll see real signs. Oh Jesus, may you move among us. Men, women, boys and girls. Those that stream in the service tonight, Father, those that will go back and archive. I know many will go back and archive it from around the world. May the Holy Ghost come right down where they are in South Africa. May the Holy Ghost come down where they are in Zimbabwe and France and Switzerland and England and Japan and China and all around the world, Father. May they feel that same Holy Ghost that we sense right here tonight, dear God. Help us that we can love. Help us that we can forgive. Help us that we can be like you, Lord Jesus. Granted, oh God, we want to stand here and say thank you tonight, Father. Thank you tonight, Lord. We believe with all of our hearts that we are the elect of God. And we want to say thank you for that tonight, Lord. Because we know it ain't because of our goodness, our works, anything we could ever do. It's simply the grace of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is why, Lord Jesus, you could call your apostles. This is why Peter could receive the great key to the revelation before the atonement was ever made. Hallelujah! Peter was accepted for his person before the sacrificial lamb was ever offered on the cross. And you gave to Peter divine revelation. Who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. But who do you say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter was already accepted. Amen. Before the Lamb ever died. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we worship you tonight, Father. Take away out of our lives, oh God, any hardness. Lord, take away out of our lives any unforgiving spirit, any envy or strife or jealousy or anything that would grieve you, Lord. Make us gentle. Make us like you, Father God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just love him, saints. Oh, let God just fill you. Many of you got the Holy Ghost. Maybe you just need a refilling tonight. Amen. Just a refilling of the love of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. With all of our hearts, we adore your name. We magnify you, Lord. Let's sing something together. Hey, let's just worship him now, children. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Can it, Lord? Can it, Lord? Hallelujah. Sister's body. Father, I come against this spirit of fear. Satan, I adjure you. In the name of the living God, the Lord Jesus, come away from my sister. You have no rights of ownership on us as the people of God. Satan, in the name of Jesus, leave her. Go away from her. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch my sister. You see these needs in her body. Lord God, hallelujah! May this thing leave her right now. Replace this spirit of fear with faith. May the presence of God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, may it leave her. Go from her, Satan. In Jesus Christ's name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. She ain't the only one here tonight that's got spirit of fear. There's others of you the same way. If you'll believe right where you're standing, you can receive. You don't have to be afraid, friends. You don't have to be afraid of missing the rapture. You don't have to be scared to death of dying of cancer because your mama did or your daddy did. Or scared to death you're going to backslide or lose out with God. Let the Holy Ghost drive that from you tonight. May your faith be anchored in the promise of the Word of God. God, no one else bound by fear. Hallelujah. Fear hath torment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. No wonder you'd say, fear not. I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Oh, Lord, we look at the world around us. It can produce fear if we let it. But, Lord Jesus, we look to your promises, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I wish somebody'd help me worship him. My. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Fear not and be not be dismayed. No wonder God kept speaking that to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Amen. I believe he speaks the same thing to the bride in this day. Don't fear politics, children. Don't fear communism. Don't fear climate change. Don't fear none of that stuff. Amen. Keep your eyes on him. He's our hope. He's our strength. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Let's worship him a little bit now and sing a little together. Amen, amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Think of it, friends. Even if you're standing here tonight and was not elect, none of us would be in the shape that Cain was in. None of us had the serpent as our father. None of us are a mongrel in that sense. And if God reached to him mercy, there's not a one of us that's got an excuse. I believe with all my heart we're elect tonight. But even if we wasn't, think of it, there's no excuse. If you want to go, you can go. Amen. Let's sing a little bit and rejoice in the Lord. My, this is Saturday night. The drunks ain't even hardly got going yet. They're going to wake up with a bad headache in the morning. We're going to come back to the house of God and worship again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing something for us, Harry. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes.
Mighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
From all sin and shame. Oh, is my redeemer.
Praise your name, Lord. Oh, he's so wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor,
peace, mighty God,
he's saving me.
God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been all forgiven, and I know my name's inscribed on the book of heaven. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is for me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is for me.
If you could move with me briskly through the elements of time, we'll take a dimensional flight. We'll come up past the light, matter, time, science. We'll skip where the unbeliever goes. We'll go where the believer goes. We'll go up into the seventh dimension where God is. And then we go on into the eighth day, that is. I can see upon the throne. It's Jesus. I can see the Shekinah, the Father, shining around Him. The rivers pouring down under His throne, trickling down the great pyramid-shaped city. The walls are of jasper, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl. His Shekinah light permeates the entire city, and you can see it from thousands of miles around the earth. The sea is gone. All sickness is gone. All trouble is gone. In this great kingdom will be these degrees of people. The elect who are allowed to be the embodiment of His Word. And the millions that is a condescend and go outside the city and they run out through the gates. And there they cover the mass of the land populace of the earth. Millions times millions. Who were wrong. Who were sinners. Who were born wretched. Born lost. But God, rich in mercy, offered them a way out. And unlike Cain, they took it. They accepted it. They accepted it. Will they ever soar where the eagles soar? No. Will they ever live in the city? They won't. But brother, sister, you talking about being some happy people. They're going to live out all over the face of the earth, spread across the face of the earth, even in degrees themselves, as the kings of the earth will come in the city and pull off the leaves. We've looked at it before. And they will come in and out of the city into eternal happiness, eternal joy, eternal bliss. Worthy? No, they're not worthy. You could look for their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and you won't find them. But you'll find them in the Book of Life. And they remained in there.
and was not blotted out. Praise be to God. Why? Because God went after them. God went after them. In a Baptist church. Oh, some of the places me and you wouldn't go. No. We've been going to Presbyterian church and a Methodist church and all that. But God in His mercy didn't want them to be lost. So God went after them. And said, I love you. I don't want you to be lost. So they come up and give their heart to the Lord. And all they are is just a good old Baptist person or a good old Methodist. And they love God as far as they can love Him with all their heart. And they're going to shout through eternity. They might not have shouted in that Baptist church, but they will when they get there. Why? Because God, in His mercy, reached to them. This ought to change our lives tonight. Amen. Let's dismiss and we'll go. We'll gather again, Lord willing, in the morning to see once more what the King has said for us. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word tonight. Oh, I've so been wanting to bring this to them, Father. May it change us. May it change the way we look at people. May we not be so easy to cut people off. May we not be so easy in our minds when people cross us and this and that and the other. Many times if we only knew their story, we'd see why they do certain things. Help us, Lord, even if they're not justified in doing what they do and saying what they say. Help us to be merciful and forgiving, to act like You. Grant it, Lord. We believe by Your grace we will be privileged to live in that great city. But Lord God, I'm so thankful. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what we'll do through eternity. But I know when I walk down those streets and I see those masses of people, I will be so grateful that Your grace reached to them as well. Praise God. Thank You for being that kind of a God. Hallelujah. Muslims only want to save their own. Baptists many times only want to save their own. Methodists only want to save their own. It's awful to say, but message people's got to the same place. They only want to save their own. But You want to save those that's not Your own. Thank You. Help us to be like You. Thank You, Father. Go with us now. Bring us back in the morning. If it be pleasing to You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing this together. Down from His glory. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. A stranger, and they finally killed him.